13, and it reads like this. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehend, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto I have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same thing. I'd like for us to go back to verse 13 and read just again this evening where the Apostle Paul said, Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend. Some time ago, there used to be a popular song, a gospel song, and the title of it was, What Will I Leave Behind? You know, tonight I know and I realize that each of us are going, when we pass from this life into the life hereafter, each of us are going to leave something here upon this earth. I believe as we go back through the Word of God, we search the Scriptures, we find that the Bible teaches us that we are going to leave something when we depart from this world. I realize today that we are in a generation of time when it seems that though it just about takes 7 days a week upon a public job in order to make a living, that to our regret is one of the punishments of being a human being, because when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, you know, it was punished, a promise to that man there that by the sweat of his face shall he till the soil. My friend, today, in other words, simply God was telling Adam that it'll be by his own sweat that he makes his living from henceforth, he said. And so therefore, in order for us to live today, we must do so by the sweat of our face. And so sometimes we find that we heap to ourselves unnecessarily things, in that we've broken ourselves to the fact that we have to just about keep ourselves tied down to a job 7 days a week. I don't believe that God is pleased with this. Take me into a home tonight where that how the mother and the dad both has to work, so to speak, from daylight till dark, as many as 6 days a week. And tell me about those children that lives inside that home. I'd like to see my friend tonight just what that mother and daddy is leaving behind for their children here on this earth. What are they leaving behind? A job, my friend, a hospital bill, an insurance policy. What are they leaving behind for the children that God has so richly blessed them to lead them for a little while, to brighten their life here in this world? What are we leaving behind for those that we love? My friend, I recall you're reading about one of the great men in the Old Testament time. a man of God. My friend this evening, that at one time God had a hedge around and about him. How came one day, as the Lord was there and among his people, Satan met up with him face to face, and he looked down upon him, and he said, "Satan, from whence comest thou?" He said, "From walking to up and down through the earth." My friend, God said unto Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, a perfect and an upright man?" My friend, the only man in the Word of God that God ever called a perfect man. But he said Job was a perfect and an upright man. This evening, my friend, though Satan said unto God, he said, "Yeah, I thought about him, but you got a hedge around him, and I can't get to him." This evening, God said, "All right, I'll take the hedge down. You do whatsoever you want to do unto his body, but don't lay a finger on his soul." Amen. This evening, but you know, here through all of his temptation, through all of his trouble, Job was a mighty rich man. He had cattle, camel, horses, everything that one could think about. And he had a lot of them. This evening, my friend, but the devil took it away from him. He had money. The devil took it away from him. He had children. The devil took them away from him. But you know what he did? The Bible said every morning, before he started out, did he get down upon his knees and offer a sacrifice for his sons and daughters? He said, "For peradventure they may have sinned against God." Other singing, what are we leaving behind? Well, preacher, it's like this. I've got my own life to live. I've tried to make the best for my son and daughter. And when it comes time they get old enough, they too are going to have to live just like I did. Just like I did. We put money in the bank. My friend, we are covering their educational life. We've worked and we've stored it up, my friend, this evening, in order how to give our children an education so that they won't have it as hard in life as we have it. But friend, you know something? Compared to this, my friend, if we leave in this thing right here, the Holy Word of God, out of our young people's life today, if we're trying to float this in front of them, teaching them that this is the way to get ahead in this life, friend, I tell you, we better take an inventory of ourselves and see where we stand with God here tonight, my friend, because there's no other name given among men under the heaven today whereby that men may be saved other than the name of Jesus, which comes from the Word of God, teaches us, my friend, the way of salvation for our lives. My friend, our bankrolls won't get us to heaven. Our bankrolls won't save our children. This evening, what are we leaving behind? This evening, my friend, for those we love. My friend, tonight, listen to me here tonight. How about it, husbands? When your come time for you to part this life, what are you going to leave behind for your wife and your family tonight? You know, God said, you're the man of the house. You're the one he's looking out to be the leader of that home. You're the one that he's already given authority of to my friend this evening to lead that family down the road into the house of God on the Lord's day. You're the one, the head of the household, my friend, that one day is going to give an account for not leaving this behind for that wife and son and daughter of yours. If it's one thing that terrifies my soul, that is to hear a father when his son or his daughter, one, is not in trouble. My friend, through neglection of their own, my friend, down through their life, neglection to carry them to the house of God, neglection to teach them how to pray and to read from God's Word. My friend and I, listen, I believe one of the greatest treasures that one can leave in this life is, my friend, a platform, my friend, an example to Christ. Amen. This evening, he said, be ye this so also minded, as Christ were so minded. This evening, my friend, let this mind be in you, as was also in Christ Jesus. Brother, that you too would be an example for those that's going to follow in your footsteps. What are you going to leave behind? This evening, my friend, listen to me. I've come from a poor family. I know today, my friend, I can remember back when it, no doubt, it was hard for my father to put food on the table. My friend, I come from a family, brother, who had to scratch, so to speak, for the living. My friend, this evening, not to throw any discord toward my father, but I saw him come in off of his job of a day, and you could track him through the house, blood dripping out of his pants. My friend, this evening, I know this might not be very popular here tonight, but brother, we got him today. That's teaching the children. If they don't want to work, my friend, go on up and sign up and get on the way of fire. But God said, a man that wouldn't win to work with his own hands, let him not eat. Amen. This evening, I believe that a man, this evening, my friend, that don't want to work, too lazy to work, I need not to worry. Brother, because I believe that God's going to claim that. You'd be surprised today, my friend, that the people are just in hurry and just too lazy. I don't want to work. My friend, I know, because, my friend, I work on a job where I have to work people. They come to me with all ages, from the beginning of their work age, right on through. Brother, I've had some 30 and 40 years old. I wouldn't, didn't want to strike a lick at a snake if it was done piled up and ready to strike. Amen. That kind of person, I don't need another being. Amen. This evening, but the Bible said, if a man's not willing and don't work with his hands, let him not eat.
Amen.
I believe in keeping up the sick, those that's not able to work. I believe in supporting them. I believe that's what the church is for, don't you?
Amen.
I believe in attending to those that's not able to attend to themselves. I believe the old, when they get too old to work, thank God for a company that has a retirement so that when the age gets old enough, they can, disabled to work, they can sort of sit down and take life a little bit easier and still have enough to live on. Thank God for that. But this evening, my friend, there's many a one right today that is on the government payroll. This evening, my friend, that's perfectly able-bodied to work. Not a thing in the world wrong with them. Amen. Just laziness. Just pure out old laziness. I know this kind of preaching ain't very popular. I know it ain't good, going good song for the devil, but we didn't come here tonight again to please the devil. We come here to preach to you the gospel of the Lord in Jesus Christ. This evening, my friend, yea, but what will we leave behind? Brother, this evening, I'm glad that I had a working father, that I have one tonight. Thank God he's still alive here with me tonight. Amen. This evening, I'm glad. Thank God he taught me how to use my hands and make a living. Amen. This evening, I'm glad he took enough interest in me to want to leave something with me, that when he's dead and gone on, I might win the day. I can still say years after that he's gone on, Dad learned me how to do this. Dad learned me how to do that. You know, this evening, I called to mind, brother, back when I started into the house of God, my friend, one night on about June the years, 1963, about 7:30 in the evening. I know my mom and dad, I was at an old Free Will Baptist church, along with old Brother Esther and Sister Esther, on their knees in the altar. Oh, and the power of God fell on me in my bedroom. Hallelujah. I'm very thank God that I have a praying father today that's helped to teach me how to pray. Amen. Or what are we going to leave behind? Or when it comes time to depart this old world, or what are we going to leave behind? Are we teaching our children? All right, they ought to be called. Amen. This evening. Oh, well, we got to the point now. Oh, well, preacher, he's 12 years old now. And I can't do anything else with him. That's a lie. The devil, brother, as long as he's under your roof, he's still your child. Amen. Amen. This evening, brother, my son's 12 years old. I wouldn't care if he was 20. If he was still single and at home, brother, he'd still be under my authority. Amen. This evening. My friend, yea, we see so many today, so many fathers are so slack in leaving their children anything in this life that'll help them in their older days. Have you ever looked out in this world today and its condition and ever really get a tremble of the fear that when this younger generation that's growing up that learned nothing but to walk the roads, wear a dirty old name, nasty clothes with beard all over their face, my friend, hair flopping down in their eyes. Have you ever got afraid that when the time comes and they rule this nation, what kind of a mess would it be like? You might say, preacher, I believe you're against long hair hippieism. I'm against it, brother, because it's of the devil. Amen. This evening, it's a shame for a man to have such an ungodly mess around over his head. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I can preach and still laugh a little bit. But friend, I do. I grow weary. I even get scared when I think about what this world's coming to. Now, I'm not throwing off on the younger. I got some of the young people here. Thank God for them. They warm my heart in the time that I'm here. And I'm certainly not talking about the whole complete younger generation. But I'm talking about these sots that's running up and down the streets in our cities today. Running up and down, streaking as they call it, on our college campuses. Those that are supposed to be getting the education that lead our nation. Those are the ones I'm talking about, the good for nothing things, unless they get their hearts right with God. My friend, this evening, what are we going? And mom and dad sitting home and twiddling their thumbs while sons and daughters are running up and down the street stark naked. Amen. This evening, what are we coming to? What are we going to leave behind when it comes our time to leave this old world? Amen. This evening, well, let us go on. As we see old Job said, naked come I from my mother's womb, and naked will I leave hither. He said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord hath taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Taking everything that old Job had, taking his sons and his daughters, taking his wheat right out of his field, took the corn off the stalk, my friend, the cattle out of the field, the hog out of the field, my friend, took everything that he had. Last and final, my friend, did his wife come out to him, look at him in the face and say, Job, I love you, but what about? Why, look at all the punishment that you're suffering here. My friend, this evening, she said unto him, Job, why don't you just go ahead and curse God and die? Brother, he looked up into the eyes of his beloved wife, and he said, woman, you talk like a foolish woman. Amen, this evening, listen unto me. Brother, tonight, old Job said, I've got a life to live. I've got something to leave behind. My friend, this evening, and I'm going to live. I'll leave something behind. When God gets ready for me to go out, he said, I didn't bring nothing into this whole world, and it's assured I'm taking nothing out. But while I'm here, in my stay, I'm going to leave something. Amen. This evening, brother, here's a man. I've been tempted in all manners of way, and yet he had the testimony. He still loved God. He said, though after the skin worms have eaten,
of his flesh yet. In my flesh shall I see God. My eyes shall behold him and not another. Thanks be unto God tonight. Oh, Job left something behind. My friend and I, are we? And what is it?
There was another time. My friend, in the book of Genesis, we have a recording of how that there was a man of God sought God for. He started out with 10 good righteous people in the city. God said, listen, I'm going to destroy that city over there. The old man of God said, God, if I can find 10 righteous men in that city, will you save it? God said, yes, if you can find me 10 good men in that city, I won't destroy it. He said, come on down to 5, and he said, how well, Lord, if I find as many as 5 good righteous men in that city, will you preserve it? Will your anger not be kindled against it? Would you not send the fire and the brimstone and destroy it? God said, if you can find me 5 good men in that city, I'll not send the fire. I'll not burn up the city. My friend, the singing. But yea, but we find in the Word of God is that an angel of God, after how this old man called Abraham meditated with God, how that God sent out 2 of his angels away down yonder in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, because there were one man down there. The Bible said, though his soul had been vexed with the sin of that city, how my friend here was. I know I'm in a mixed congregation tonight, but here in this city was a big bunch of what we call today, and it's a thing that's going very strong, a thing we call homosexuals, living down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, men after men. Amen. This evening, when the 2 angels came into the gates of that city, my friend, this evening, the men of that city came and running to get a hold, to lay hold upon these 2 men, my friend. But here come the old man out of the city and said, listen, I've got 2 daughters back yonder at home. Let's never know the man. I'll give them unto you, and you can do as you would with them. Only let these men go, my friend, this evening. But here we find, as old Lot took the 2 men into his house, they begin to tell him how that God was going to send the fire and destroy that city. He said, in the morning, I want you to rise. I want you to get your daughters, my friend, your wife. I want you to get thee up out of the city. He said, I don't want you to turn neither to the right nor to the left. Don't look behind you, but go, escape for your life. My friend, this evening, the next morning came. Lot hindered for a little while. Seemed like he didn't want to go because there was too much fire. He didn't want to leave it all behind. Amen. This evening, and the angels, the Bible said, got a hold of Lot, his wife, and his daughters, picked him up, carried him outside to the gate, and said, go, my friend. This evening, and more said, go, until Lot's wife looked back. And the Bible said, she turned into a pillar of salt. Why? Because she was leaving something behind. My friend there in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, that's going to be the damnation of a lot of souls today, is what they're leaving behind here in this old world. It's going to cause many a one to die and go to hell. But it's not worth it. This whole world put together is not worth your soul. The Bible said, and until this day, she remains as a pillar of salt. Friend, why? She was leaving something behind. She was leaving something behind. I don't know, the Bible doesn't say this. But you know what I thought about a lot of times? Knowing the city she was in, and seeing as how she disobeyed God, seeing as how that God done told her the plan for her life,
done told her exactly what to do. But you know, when a woman or a man gets a thought in their mind, ain't nothing going to stop it. There ain't nothing going to stop it. You know what I think was in Lot's wife's mind? Another man. Another man. I talked to just this past week. Last Sunday, as a matter of fact. I don't know where they're at tonight. I haven't saw them since. This is just on one occasion. But I talked to this young woman that had a beautiful little red-headed boy running around her calling her mother. She told me there, right back there in the back of the church, how she had already plotted the plan to leave her husband. She said, he don't know anything about it yet, but I'm leaving him. I'm not going to live with him any longer. I looked up at her as the little boy had come and slung her arms, his arms around her legs, and I looked down at him. Then I looked back up at her and I said, sister, is this your little son? The little boy turned and walked out the back door. As she said, yes, that's my son. I said, does this little fella mean nothing to you? She looked at me as though, what are you talking about? I said, does he really mean nothing to you? I said, in so much, my friend, that you're willing, my friend tonight, to maybe take away from him the opportunity to ever be a Christian. That's right, my friend. She could very well be taken away, that little child's opportunity to be a Christian, because she is its mother, my friend, this evening. And the mother, my friend, is supposed to be alive unto that family. But she, I looked up at her as I tried to talk with her, tried to persuade her, tried to get her to tell me why, that she was leaving the husband. She well said, well, that I'm not going to tell you why. Then the thought just struck me. I looked right in her in the face and I said, sister, how would you answer me one question? How would you answer it to me truthfully? And she said, yes, if I can. I said, sister, are there another man in your life that's causing you to do this thing? A smile came over her face. I could tell a difference in her life at that very moment. A friend, when a woman gets made up in her mind, brother, that she's going to do this, I know I live with a woman, but when she makes up in her mind that she's going to do this, seems like nothing can change it. I believe that's what made Lot's wife turn and look back into the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, because she had friends there. Amen. She had friends there. Listen to me tonight. A friend, a man or a woman today, my friend this evening, that's a friend unto me. It's only because my friend that they know Jesus. I don't have no friends outside of Christ tonight. Amen. He's given me the friends that I've got. My friend this evening, I know I don't have any other. And these friends sticks closer to me than my own brother. Amen. This evening, there's nothing in Sodom and Gomorrah that's worth the sake of our soul. What are we leaving behind?
I don't know about you, but in the 11 years in my ministry, almost 11, it's been almost a trail of tears that I've left behind me. I've been ridiculed. I've been persecuted. I've been tried and convicted. I've had to cry my way out of a many of a trouble and a many of a problem. I've laid on my bed at night and wept bitterly for things that were troubling my soul, things that I knew were troubling other people's soul, but because I loved them, I cared for them, and I cried for them. For me, I'm leaving almost a trail of tears. But when this veil of tears have passed one day, thank God this evening, I believe this, my friend, there's a better place prepared for me. And as I stated here in the message last night, thank God, I believe then I'll receive the reward for this trail of tears that I leave behind. My friend, this evening, here I know we're raised in a community. I know we're raised in a world when it seems as though it's hard to make ends meet as a Christian anymore, because we don't lie and we don't steal, we don't bear false witness and all of these sort of things to get ahead.
I realize we're not very famous in this world, and I realize, as far as money wise is concerned, we won't have, when Jesus calls us home, we won't have very much cents and dollars to leave here upon this earth. But friend, one of the greatest treasures that I treasured in my life is that my life would be a light unto some soul. God, help me to be the soldier of the cross tonight, to be a light, an inspiration unto somebody's life. But I can just leave that behind. I'll count it as a great privilege to have lived upon this earth and to have died for the cause of Christ. Paul said, I count not myself to have comprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind me, forgetting the things that are behind me, that, my friend, if I thought about the mistakes that I've made in my life, it would worry me to death. But I'm forgetting about those things tonight, and I'm pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God. I want to be a light unto some soul, that one more soul, maybe, might be saved before it's everlasting and eternally too late. You remember the story about the old rich man and Lazarus, how that Lazarus was broken out with sores from the crown of his head to the bottom of his feet. You remember the story how that he was laid at the rich man's gate. He desired to be fed. The crumbs that fell from his table